it's always a privilege, given the opportunity. Bring forth the Word of God. I'll never preach a sermon that will be worthy of the kingdom of heaven. I know that. At the same time, God is the one that gives us all the opportunity to serve Him. Thank you for allowing me to do that for Him. So let's go first and foremost, do a little scripture reading. We'll start off with Genesis. No, we'll go to Leviticus. That's Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Chapter 20, just one verse. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And some of you may know what the main text is just by reading this one verse. And the Word of God in verse 10 states, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know that we cannot do this alone, that sin prevents us from doing the things that you would desire us to do for you, Lord. Lord, let us not look around one upon another's sin. Lord, let us pray for each another, one another's sin. Lord, that we'll come up behind one another and be support of one another, Lord. That as sinners saved by your marvelous grace, Lord, that we can do those things that you're calling us to do, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this evening. I ask you to continue to be with Pastor and the First Lady of this church, Lord, just be with both of them. Lord, bring them home safe. Yes, please be with our sister, Minerva. Lord, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's scroll over to John. Our text is in John 8. I'll start a little bit sooner than that. Kind of get a little bit of a flavor of what's going on. But before the Lord has to deal with this scenario. But He dealt with it. And He dealt with it like no one else could deal with it. Let's go backwards to Chapter 7, verse 41. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" Have not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Yes. That's where Jesus was from. We know that. Verse 43. But they don't know that. Verse 43. "So there was a division among the people because of him." There should never be a division among the people because of Jesus Christ. But you're always going to find a division amongst them who believe and not believe. In verse 44, "And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him?" Think about that for a moment. Here they want our Lord and Savior. What they really want to do is kill him. And the custom of the day, the way the Bible taught them, was to stone him. Verse 46, the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Nobody can speak like our Lord. Think about it. When He speaks, things happen. Creation happens. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? That's a question I would ask them after 2,000 years. Are you deceived of your own heart and your own ways? In verse 48, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on Him? They're trying to say, if we don't believe on Him, He's not the real, He's not the Messiah. That's what they're implying here. They know better. But this people who know not the law are cursed. And here's Nicodemus. If you remember, he was there in John chapter 3. He's the one that, when Jesus called him, you must be born again. Verse 50 says, Nicodemus saith unto them, Nicodemus had been right there face to face, heart to heart. He had a good heart speech with the Lord. The Lord taught him everything he needed to know about salvation. That's for sure. He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, that's Nicodemus, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? That's a good question. And that's a question that they should abide by. Because it's their law, the way they should go about doing things. And verse 52, and they answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of the Galilee ariseth no prophet. So they immediately attacked him with that verse and their lack of knowledge of where Jesus was born. Or maybe they knew. Maybe they knew, but I can't prove that. And every man went unto his own house. So they go on to their own house. In verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Well, I'm going to show you this right here. It's very important to live the Christian life. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. He went to the Mount of Olives for one reason, to get alone with the Lord, with the Father, His Father in heaven. Spend time with Him. Jesus was always being tempted by His creation. And the next morning, no different. So He comes down that mount, verse 2, and early in the morning He came again. Jesus went to church. Jesus, God Himself, as a man, went to church and came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him. And this is beautiful. One day we'll be taught face to face by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, and He sat down. Think about there for a moment. He sat down. He could walk in here and sit down anytime and teach me. I don't know about you guys. I'd rather be taught by the Lord. And that's what happens when we open the Bible each and every time. It's Him, you and Him. He's teaching you. He sat down and taught them. That's a beautiful picture of how patient our Lord is, willing to grow us in truth and faith. But unfortunately, you have people who want to be at the top of the ladder. And that's what these scribes and Pharisees in verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees seized, brought unto Him a woman. Now we know there's two sexes. man and a woman. God made us that way. And the woman's the weaker vessel. There is some decency about man, how we should handle a woman, even though she may have done this. There's a right way of doing everything. Seize unto him, brought unto him a woman, taken in adultery. And they had set her in the midst. She must have been really, really afraid. She's thinking, she's not, and maybe even in the conversation, they had scared her. And this is just speculating. It's not in the Scriptures. This is the only portion of the Scripture you're going to find this. She probably was very scared. How's that? And they say unto him, Master. Now that there is a good title. But they did not mean it. They didn't come there honorably. They come there to deceive. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I will ask you a question. Can you see the sin that's going on here by these Pharisees and scribes? First, they come there in false pretense, bearing false witness before the King of the world, the true judge. Because one, where is the adulterer? Where's the adulterer? They should have brought him along with her. And then they come in there and they interrupt our Lord and Savior while He's teaching. Honor the Lord God with your heart and your lips. But they don't know that. They're blind. They just want to maintain their status quo. They want to be the people, have the people, and most of the people didn't really look up to them. It was the government they were under. And they were kind of forced to listen to them. Because they surely weren't talking about the Savior. They surely weren't going out there helping the sick and the lame. Those people who needed help. And they did kind of, if you hung around them, you were unclean. But my Lord and Savior, He saw the need. He would go out in the neighborhood amongst sinners and teach and preach and love on those people. And they would get saved. And they are eternally saved. They may have remained in that same condition of being poor, but they had everything they need for eternity. And now they're in heaven. The richest people on the planet at the time, at least when it came to the Jews or the Pharisees. And these people became rich in spirit because they heard the truth. Now Moses in the law commanded us, verse number 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? I don't know what I would have said, being there watching it on the side. But I know now because we have the full Scripture. I have a complete understanding what these Scriptures mean. So we have to realize that the Pharisees were blind. And those other on the other side of Jesus who were divided with the Pharisees, they were blind too. That they might have to accuse Him. I'll start again. Verse 6 says that they said, tempting Him. You see that? You don't tempt the Lord, thy God. That's what the Bible says. That they might have to accuse Him. Accuse Him of what? Being Jesus Christ? But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Here's the thing. I've heard all kinds of explanations. I don't know what he wrote. I wasn't there. It's not written here. Maybe he wrote their names out of the Lamb's Book of Life, blotted it out. Maybe he was writing this very thing. Where's the adulterer? I don't know. But I know these men came there in sin to accuse this woman and trying to get the Savior to tempt him so they could get him and be able to stone him for against their law. That's why they did that. They didn't come there for anything other than to try to destroy our Savior. That is plain. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. You know, this kept on. Kept on. Lord, being patient. Lifts himself. I can see him do that. I don't know what it looks like. I know what it looks like when a man lifts up himself. But this is not any man. Lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. Today, in the Christian church, the church that God has called out, we have to be very careful how we handle the stone. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. As a matter of fact, in John 3 and 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We know that, and it's a beautiful verse. In verse 18, chapter 3 in John, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if you have believed, that still does not make you without sin. It does before God. But our relationship before God. But as we all know, our fellowship, God desires to walk with little sin. I'll say it the way Anna maybe can understand, a little sin. That we come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, and He will forgive us. The Bible teaches there's none righteous. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin, and this is before salvation, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. Think about that. We all carry some sin. The simple thing is, we don't have to. The simple thing is, He made it simple. And so, as a child of God, we can think about all kinds of things about relationships with one another. And it's very important. Very important for health, the mind, the spirit. We know it's most important for all three areas there. When we have a clean walk with the Lord, we'll have a healthier mind. We may have a healthier body, but over my life, and I've seen it and I've heard preachers talk about it, is that Christians normally live a more healthier life than this spiritual life. That's a life that only those who are born again can live spiritually healthy. And the Lord has given us every tool we need. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Word. He's given us a holy time to get up on the Mount of Olives, one-on-one with Him, wherever your Mount of Olives may be. He's given us a church, a fellowship, that when we come together, we come and worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. When we get that opportunity to sit down one with another and be truthful and honest one with another, as the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, would desire us and want us to do, that's where true life is. Our brother spoke up this morning with such a wonderful sermon to hear from my brother, and I'm grateful and thankful for what he brought forth this morning. And here's Jesus in verse 8. You know, when a man, the judge stands up before the jury and he sits down, and it's over for that person. But he'll sit there and ask the verdict, and the guys that give out the verdict will stand up. If you've ever been in the courtroom, and they'll read out the verdict. They didn't know when they got there that day with that woman scared out of her mind that they were the ones going to be judged, and they didn't even know it. They were going to be judged. But not this woman. Not this woman. Because this woman, God, as we read in the Scriptures, He didn't come in the world to condemn it. He gives us every opportunity to be saved and to believe. She didn't open her mouth. And maybe she opened her mouth, don't know what she was saying. Maybe the Lord would have done something different. But He didn't come to condemn at that time anyway. And He stooped down and wrote on the ground. There He is writing again. They interrupted the teacher. Kind of like a chalkboard. We don't know what He was writing. He was just letting them act out the scene. Because He's putting conviction on their heart. There's no doubt in anyone's mind when you look at that scene that Jesus is in control of that scene. And He says, those who were without sin cast the first stone. And then He stooped down. Verse number 9, and they which heard it, being convicted. How can they be convicted if they're lost? Well, all men can be convicted. You're being convicted constantly. They hear the Word of God and they keep pushing Him away, just like these Pharisees have been doing for the longest. They've been pushing and pushing and pushing the Lord away. No matter what the Lord would say, they would not come, at least at that time, to the saving grace. Verse 9 again, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. That's where you get convicted, folks. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. Maybe the older ones a little bit more wise. I don't know. Even unto the last. Maybe some kind of custom. I really can't answer that. And Jesus was left alone, like He was up on the Mount of Olives, but there were still people there. It was just Him and one other. And there's others there, as we had read. They came during a Bible study. Interrupted a Bible study so they could try to trap our Lord and Savior, which He is the truth. They're not going to trap Him. Convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Don't know what's going on in her mind. Stop and think about that. All that just didn't happen like that. You know, like it does on TV, everybody's... Jesus was patient with all of them, as you could see there in a couple of verses. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up Himself, there He goes again, lifting up Himself, I saw none but the woman. Well, He knew He was there. That's for our benefit. He saw them, saw her standing there. So we can understand that He saw her standing there. Sometimes the Scripture's so plain we have to have it that way. Otherwise, we go running off of all kinds of ideas. And saw none but the woman. And He said, this is calm and loving and caring, knowing that woman from the day she was even born. Think about that. He's everybody we walk out here to, every day. Jesus knows everything about them, whether they're lost or saved, but He knows them. And if you get caught off in traffic by someone, Jesus knows that's going to happen. Just be patient with those people. They're lost and they're blind. But I will continue to go on here, and it says, woman, same verse, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Well, they had dropped the rocks and left. I often wondered when I read this, if He had said something other than this, they would have took the stone and started belting Him with them stones. But you can't look at Scriptures like that. Because Jesus wasn't ready to go to that cross. It was not His time. That's the only reason. Jesus had a perfect plan. Always remember when you're reading those Scriptures over there, all four Gospels, you put them all blending together, so they're totally cohesive and understanding that Jesus Christ went there willingly, lovingly, to save us from our sins, to save every single person and His entire creation from the very beginning of Adam to the very end, whoever that is. God did that for us. That's what His Son did. He didn't come to condemn. He'll come again with might. He'll come again. And when He steps His feet upon this earth again, He will judge. He will rule. And He will show us how to love and truly be like Him. In verse 11, she said, no man. Uh-oh, what's the next word? No man, Lord. Something must have happened to her. Something incredible happened to her. Something that's happened to every person that has believed on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She realized something. It's not L-O-R-D like Sarah called Abraham. It's capital L-O-R-D as we call Him Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. And this is what He said to all of us. If you don't realize it, you should understand that. He desires not to sin. He saved us. And He says, go and sin no more. Does this mean that she would not sin? The Bible always has already taught us. We all have sinned. There is none righteous. There's none doeth good. But one day, when He seals us at the day of redemption, we will sin no more. And that's His promise. So as we look about, whether we look without or within, we have to realize, we have to truly understand that we're going through a battle that is very difficult to handle in the flesh. This flesh loves to sin and takes pleasure in doing so. The more you get away from God, the further away you get away from Him, the more you'll like sin. But what's it doing in? It also creates death and destruction. And as we look, we have to realize we're all in this same sin battle together. We're all here for a reason, multiple reasons. One, because we are His children. And we've been given the right to stand and talk about Him here and elsewhere. And He's given us the power to do so. But He's also given us a power to forgive. A power that can only come from Him, not from man. He's the one that said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then we can see a replication of that when Stephen was stoned. Get the picture? Stoned. Our Lord was put upon a cross. Stephen was stoned. He basically said, don't put that to their account. Forgive them. And sometimes in our life, people may do us wrong. And we have to turn and say, "Lord, this is hard, Lord. I don't know if I can do this, Lord. You can." If they really understood this, Lord. And then you say, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the Lord has taught us a few things in this portion of Scriptures. He's taught us something, that He is the great Master. He is the great Teacher. He's the one worth listening to and obeying. Sometimes we have leadership, especially out there in the world, and they might ask you to do something that you know is wrong. And you have this weight here, the Lord's right hand on your heart. Or you have these hands here and you go blind yourself to that and do what the boss said. We have to have conviction of the heart. And when we're in the church, we're not here to condemn people. Well, I can't condemn nobody. I don't have that authority and nobody else does. But what do we do? What would Jesus do? We heard that with WWJD. What would He do? Jesus prayed a lot for His people. I had a grandmother when I was growing up. My mom's mom. And she would be in there, and we'd have big family gatherings, especially around this time of year, and we loved to eat, of course. And she'd get in there and start, and the women start talking. And they start saying things, a little bit of gossip, and she would just giggle. Stand up and walk out the room. And this is my mom after she had departed and gone on to the Lord. And it left a lasting impression on my heart. Because I understood. I understood my mom. I understood my grandmother. Think about two women in the New Testament. Timothy's mom and grandma. She says, I've never heard her say a foul word about anybody. And that's who our Lord and Savior is. He would never say anything negative, no matter what. But she also understood this. She had a strong man in her defense. She didn't have to be that person. Sometimes you have women, unfortunately, you may be thrust into that leadership role to be strong and tough. This woman had nothing. This woman was, we have to have pity. We have to have mercy. We have to have grace and understanding that this is God's creature, not a piece of trash. This is a human being that God saw before the foundation of the earth, saw that child come into existence. I don't know what that person has had done to their life. I don't. And that mind, that flesh, automatically, 100 mile an hour, shouldn't be that way. Jesus wasn't that way. He could see why He made that person. It's because they didn't go down that path. Of course, they have choices. But we don't kick them to the side and continue to send them down that path. We say a kind word. We might pull off the side of the road there. Pray for them. But we're too busy to do that. Maybe you see them there. Well, there's a lot of people out there trying to hustle. I don't care if they hustle me for a sandwich or something like that. I'll go and get one. And I'm not bragging on myself, but this is what we should do. Simple acts of kindness. And out of this, we also learn if you're convicted of sin, there's only one place to go. You go to the Lord, you get along, you push everything to the side, and you say, Lord, thank you for putting up with me. But you saw what I did, what I said, how I came about saying it, how I said it. And, Lord, will you forgive me? It's easier to do than said, but, I mean, said than easier to do. And this is even harder. When He lays upon your heart to go tell that person the same thing. Are you the type of person that does not forgive? No matter what, you keep it between you and the Lord. You can't tell the Lord no. Because I know the moment I say no, He's going to step back and take His hand off my life. He'll protect me. But the moment I say, Lord, no. But the moment I obey Him, I listen to Him, and walk forward just like any Christian in here, and any Christian has done this, and say, forgive me. The last couple weeks ago, I had to go after, the Lord wouldn't let me. I had to tell my pastor that I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said those things without your permission. You set me free, folks. No, it was rough. No, it wasn't pretty. But I do love the lost. And so does Jesus. He loved this pitiful, lost woman. But he didn't look at her like that. It's capital W. It's an endear term there. He looked at her with great possibility. He looked at her, God the Father looked at her as being washed, being clean, with a robe of righteousness upon her. Just because someone wanted to make the Lord look bad and eventually stone him. They really wanted to get him. So there's so many lessons in this, but the most important with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is at the very end of verse number 11. It says, go. She's got a new life. All those things have been taken off of her. That's us, the moment we're born again. And sin no more. Have you ever done something other than being saved and it didn't come? Didn't come the way you thought it was going to come, but you had done something you knew you deserved what you got, if you, and when you got it. But then there's an individual with great understanding and wisdom realizes you're young, and that's the reason you committed that sin. So we have to be very careful when we have a new believer, a new convert. When they become born again, that they too also need to have patience, our patience. And he says, sin no more. Says it's impossible to do. Jesus didn't say, sin no more, I won't be there and you have to bear it by yourself. He's telling this woman, sin no more, but I'm here. And if you do sin, I'm here. I'm your advocate. I will come to you. And you will be able to come to me. And you'll be able to go to the Father and ask, Father, please forgive me. I've sinned again. Let us pray.